From the Land de Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of August 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, we'll be joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. He's been thinking about the idea of whether the corn market has bottomed or not, and we'll also take up the weather forecast today. That with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago, and the folks at the Andersons will check in with us to see what the cash grain situation is like in East Central Illinois on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today up 2 3/4. It settled at $3.10 a bushel. The December new crop at $3.23, up 2 1/4 for the afternoon. In the March contract, 2 cents higher at $3.34. May at $3.43, a penny and 3/4 higher in July corn. Up 1 3/4, settled at $3.49 1/2. Soybeans August contract for the day, 6 1/4 higher, $8.76 1/2. November new crop at $8.73 1/4, 5 3/4 higher. January up 5 1/4 cents, $8.79 1/4. And March soybeans, $8.81 3/4, 4 3/4 higher. The bean oil, 16 cents lower. Bean meal up $2.20. Wheat futures, next year's July contract, 4 1/2 lower at $5.17. For the soft red, the hard red down 1 1/4 at $4.53 3/4 cents. Live cattle futures in the October up 70 cents at $107.15. August feeder cattle at $143.57 1/2, 85 cents higher. And lean hogs for the day at $53.12 1/2, up $2.12 1/2. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace. This is a big week. It's when USDA will release its first look at the crop production figures. We'll get to those in just a moment, but we probably ought to talk about what happened in Chicago and the move higher on this Monday. Thanks for being with us, by the way, Kurt.
Well, you're quite welcome. Monday, an up day for a change. We're starting to get the percentages back in favor and up Monday, so we'll take that. But first, important thing, though, is we do have quite a bit of severe weather moving across the upper Midwest. I mean, 70, 80 mile an hour winds with gusts up to 100, 102. So it's lighting up Twitter and social media on some fairly significant damage. So hopefully facilities and the crop can endure this event here today. It's frustrating enough with lower prices, let alone with a weather event like that to really mess things up. So be safe. Turnaround Monday, I guess. Soybeans made a new low, closed higher on the day. We were due for a little short-term four-week cycle low in through here, so the key is to follow through. Corn's working an inside-up day in through here. Market's incredibly oversold, so I think we'll see the market put in the upward momentum here or hold together here, a little short covering ahead of Wednesday's numbers. Next event, in about an hour and a half in here, would be the crop conditions report. Conditions are expected to be about unchanged from last week, but two key areas. One is Ohio, and of course, the make market maker, if we do see a surprise or some juggling, will be Iowa. The trade's starting to take a little bit more notice of the Iowa crop, particularly central western Iowa. Whereas they've missed quite a bit of the moisture here during the growing season, and drought monitors starting to show a fairly good red glob in that area. But two, when you look at that situation there, and across the Midwest, we're hearing more and more reports of this early maturing corn or early corn that went in April suffered some significant pollination problems in some areas. The outside rows looked well, but when you go inside, the crop was unable to cool down in the evenings. And so, there could be a little shortfall there. I mean, the crop's going to be huge and it's going to be good, but it might not be quite as good as some of these guys are trying to get this national yield up to 184 bushels to the acre when it's all said and done.
What do you think about current pricing for corn and what it's doing technically at this time? Some have started to wonder whether it's bottoming, whether some base building really happening here, or whether there's a leg down yet to come.
Well, it's a great question because we are approaching the historic time window to record a late August low when this famous August 31st phone call comes in to, you know, whether you want to pay another in charge or move it. We're kind of in the opinion we can find a low here as we move into late August and have some recovery going into September. But the key is that this September report confirms we got a larger crop. Some of these bears are looking for decent corn to maybe potentially drop down to this 280 level on the board until we find a home for this crop. We feel if there's going to be some up move, it's going to be once we get through harvest and get this stuff stacked on a pile or stocked away in a bin somewhere. A lot of producers are in the mindset through here, make needed cash flow sales, generate some revenue, but it's kind of in a holding pattern and wanting to find a home for this crop here and then see what this winter brings once we get past the election.
There were some overnight purchases for soybeans, including those headed to China. That was good news.
Yeah, and that market actually closed higher on that news. That's kind of a surprise, too. We've seen some fairly good sales here over the last few months. The market trades a little higher, then ends up giving up shipping through here. So we just need to continue to see that demand. The key, though, is will they actually take those purchases and actually see those shipments take place? So, Grant, we do have some good sales on the books, and we'll probably see some more sales. But the U.S.-Chinese relations, you know, need to stay positive. And two, we need to see a situation where there's incentive to take this ahead of this Brazilian crop coming on here later on next spring. When you look at the price structure, the soybean complex, once you get past the January contract, there's not a whole lot of carry in the market. As the trade's looking at most of the business returning back to the southern hemisphere as we go into next spring.
Let's talk a little bit about fundamental demand issues. You mentioned some things that would happen with soybeans. On the corn side, of course, it's all about feed usage, ethanol, and then the export market. How are they holding up?
Well, on the shipments for corn particularly there, we are running just a little bit behind on the export side. But when you look at the sales being beginning to line up in through here, there's quite a bit of optimism, particularly China. I mean, when you look at the amounts we sold to China in through here, if you dial back the clock, that would have been extremely bullish to see that happen. But I think the key now is to make sure these Chinese sales stay on the books and see some additional sales show up in through here. The USDA numbers as we move into 2021, we should see some export totals be higher than a year ago as we see this export market rebound. Feed usage, hog, cattle, poultry numbers continue to remain high. The lower corn meal prices in here are going to help take the edge off a little bit for these livestock producers to feed out, continue to use corn and meal. And the ethanol-wise, we're starting to see this travel pick up. Gas usage remain fairly strong. We're getting back almost to COVID, pre-COVID-19 levels. And as long as we can keep some profitability in the ethanol part, not only gas, but hand sanitizers and some of these other creative products are coming up with, should hopefully provide a supportive undertone to the grain complex. The commercial grain trade, I think, is dialed in to, as we move in this fall, that's going to be their time window to gather some inventory. So we look for end users to pick up some coverage here between September 1st and October 31st.
Hey, thanks so much, Kurt.
Very good. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. He's written an article for the FarmDoc Daily website entitled Corn Bottoming, or taking a breather? Hey, Todd, thanks so much. How'd you come up with the title on this one?
Well, there's been a lot of people walking around and talking about this corn at a bottom. It's hard to say at this point. We've seen some decent demand news recently, particularly with China buying. But simultaneously, you know, and I say in the article, demand's been a bit of a mixed bag over the last few weeks because we've seen ethanol production flatten out after we saw that impressive recovery. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of livestock on the ground. Feed demand should be relatively good, but a little bit of a mixed bag on demand. I think a lot of that's been priced into the market. And we're basically looking at how big is this crop going to be. You know, we saw December futures drive down. They've basically been in a band between 320 and 325 over the last few trading days. And there's a lot of discussion, you know, is that it? Is that the bottom? And I think I think most people think that it's depending on how big that crop is going to be this year. And, you know, the August 12th crop production report coming out this Wednesday is going to be USDA's first swipe at it. And I know there's a lot of pains on what yield's going to be this year, but it looks like it's going to be a pretty big crop. I think right now, you know, what's been built into the market is a pretty high yield. I try in the article to back it out based on USDA demand scenarios, and it's an above a 182 yield. It's actually above 183 by my calculations. And I'm nowhere close to that kind of yield in my calculations for this crop thus far. It could be that high. We'll find out on Wednesday what USDA says.
What does it tell you about the potential stocks-to-use ratio for the 2021 marketing year?
I think it's going to be, you know, if we do, like a lot of the trade thinks, we're going to be around 180.5 yield. I'm a little bit higher than that in my model. I'm at 180.7. You know, if that turns out to be the yield and the kind of demand that USDA is putting out right now, we're probably going to go over, you know, 3 billion bushels of carryout in 2021, which puts us somewhere in the 19 to 22% range, depending on how demand turns out. Huge uncertainty on that front. You know, if we get a vaccine later this year, early next year, economic activity starts picking back up, and we could see some pretty good, strong corn demand in the latter half of next marketing year, to help a lot. But yeah, we're in that, it's looking like that kind of range depending on how big a crop we get.
How often are we at that 20% stocks to use ratio? That seems like a really big number.
It's a big number. We're not there very often. This isn't the 80s anymore where we got CCC stockpiles all over the place. We haven't been at that level since the renewable fuel standard went into place, so it's out of memory for a lot of folks, I believe. When the last time would we have been in that kind of level? It's been a while. I think.
Yeah, so that would have been 05, 06. Yeah. I'll let you take a look at the numbers there, or somewhere in that area. But it's been quite some time, and it just means that there's an awful lot of corn around, no matter how much demand there happens to be.
That's right. We've got plenty of corn. Yeah, the last time we were around 20% was 04, 05, in that range, in that years. You know, we're looking at 22% possibly, if not somewhere in that range, slightly lower, I believe, for 2021. So, yeah, we haven't been there in a long time. There's a lot of uncertainty on the crop. It looks like Iowa's getting some rain today and a little bit over the weekend. And temperatures look like they're trending a little bit cooler and wetter across large parts of the Corn Belt. So, you know, there is a potential for a big crop out there. I mean, some of these yields are being thrown around well above 183, 184. That seems awful high to me. I don't think we're going to touch that number. But if we do, yeah, it's going to be punishing. So, you know, when I'm talking about corn bottoming, you know, if we get a crop production report that's putting yield around 180.5, somewhere in that range, we lose a few acres of corn off the 92 million planted or even stay right there, I think with the canned demand, we might see moving forward. We might have put a bottom in. If we get a really big yield in place and it looks like the crop's going to be bigger than that, I think you'll see more weakness in price moving forward.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Mark Russo now joins us. He's with RisPulse, and they're headquartered in Chicago. Hey, thanks so much for being with us, Mark. Let's start with Iowa today. I was through there a couple of weeks ago, and we know simply by looking at the drought monitor and rainfall over the last several months that they have been dry. What do conditions look like today?
Well, certainly across the whole Midwest, that's been the driest spot in the Midwest. And obviously with Iowa being biggest corn producer in the Midwest, that's taken on more sensitivity. And there has been some improvement, at least over the weekend, with some rain activity. But coming up, there will be some additional chances for rain as we look out through the end of this week and on into the early part of next week. In fact, we are seeing about 3 to 4 opportunities for thunderstorms to develop in and around Iowa. And actually, one of those chances here is today. And we're seeing a complex of thunderstorms, which has developed over central Iowa. And along with it is not only producing heavy rain, but also some severe weather and some strong winds as well. But we'll continue to see these other opportunities for rain kind of off and on as we go through the remainder of this week and on into next week. It's not going to fully solve the dryness, but by the end of next week, Iowa should be better off compared to right now.
Yeah, so just for background purposes, West Central and Central Iowa, or West Central and Northwestern Iowa, I've been through, those were the driest areas, although they went through pollination really well from what I could tell as I got out and went through those fields. So it's about grain fill at this point, and I suppose rainfall is rainfall, and rain makes grain. We'll find out what USDA has to say about that on Wednesday of this week. It also takes lower temperatures sometimes too in those areas that are deficit rainfall to make sure that grain can come out. What do you see in terms of temperatures now?
Yeah, in terms of temperatures for the next couple of weeks, a warm bias, although nothing extreme is expected over the next couple of weeks. Kind of variable pattern here across the heart of the Corn Belt, including in that Iowa. The core heat will continue to be out west. It'll be in the Plains region and into the Southwest, including the Four Corners area, which has already seen some very impressive temperatures this summer. Phoenix has experienced a record number of days of this summer above 110 degrees. And it's going to be a very similar story here as we go through the remainder of August. But that kind of core of heat out west, there's just no indication that really moves over the Midwest at all for the next few weeks.
And can you check in on Europe for me on what the crops look like there? And of course, they're in the middle of the harvest season for many of their crops, or wrapping it up, I would think.
Yeah, across Europe, the story of late has been the dryness across areas, especially France and into Germany. Well, France experienced one of their driest Julys of the past 20 years, and that has continued now into August. It does look like there will be some relief from the dryness coming up by the end of this week. In fact, the ridge of high pressure that has produced the drier conditions is going to be weakening and kind of moving up north into Scandinavia. And that's going to allow a trough of low pressure to move in and increase rainfall prospects and also cool down temperatures as well across Western Europe. Actually, right now, Europe's in the midst of a major heat wave that'll continue again for about 3 to 4 days before that comes to an end by this upcoming weekend.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us today.
You're welcome, Todd. Thanks for having me.
That is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Let's check now as we close out our time together what the local situation for cash grain is like. Brian Stark joins us from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Hey, Brian, thanks so much for being with us today. First, tell me about basis in your area.
Market's a little softer week over week as we try and bridge the gap between the old crop inverse covering enough end user demand until we get to new crop. And the market was firm here, I would say, the last few days of July into the first couple of days of August. And lately, it seems like the end user is beginning coverage. So in general, we're probably about a nickel softer since this time last week in corn basis. Bean basis seems to be firming a little bit, holding in some of that cash inverse, and it may take a little bit longer to whittle that away, but corn's definitely softer here in the last week.
There are an awful lot of really big numbers beginning to float around as it relates to this year's corn crop, bean crop for that matter, and USDA will take its first stab at those numbers with a survey-based production figure that will be released on Wednesday. This will be the second year in a row that they've done only surveys and no objective yields for the August figures. What do you think you'll see, and what are your expectations based on what you've heard from the trade so far?
I think the government estimates probably go up slightly. Maybe the yield is closer to 180. I don't know if we jump quite as high as maybe a few of the privates have started to put out we've seen the last week. But I do think the conditions you couldn't ask for the last 30 to 60 days for a growing season in most of the Corn Belt have been pretty darn good. I just wonder that there's some challenges that some of the Eastern Corn Belt faced during planting that affected populations that might cap our ability to set, say, a new record in Illinois with one private coming out in the last week saying 212. Our record was 210 in 2018. Bean yields being big, too. I would say you probably have a better chance today of seeing a new bean state record in Illinois more so than you do corn.
A little bit earlier in this program and up on the Farm Doc Daily website, Todd Hubbs is discussing the price of corn and wondering whether corn has bottomed or is bottoming or whether it's just taking a breather here at this point. I suspect you've been thinking about this a lot, too.
Yeah, I think the market right now is stabilizing, at least for the time being, until we see the government's report on Wednesday. And also at some point, I think confirmation always is something the trade looks at as far as yields go to make that next leg lower. And it seems like the last 4 to 5 years, we've kind of put in a pattern where the low, rather than being a harvest low, has been generally established at the end of August because of old crop selling or throwing in the towel from the producer as they stare at potentially a new flat drop charge for some of their old crop grain that's unpriced. And it feels that way today that we may not be looking at a big rally here over the next 60 to 90 days, but at the same time, the market may find a bottom in here once the producer decides what he's going to do with his remaining unpriced old crop.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day, Todd.
And that's Brian Stark. He is with the Andersons. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.